Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes aquí en São Paulo, Brasil. Dios abençoe.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present here in São Paulo, Brazil. It is truly a great blessing and privilege to be here in Brazil again, and also with my wife and those who are accompanying me, and with the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, his wife Ruth, and those who are accompanying him, and the other ministers from different places in Brazil, brothers and sisters also, and also ministers, brothers and sisters from different countries. And as our brother Miguel was telling us, many, they journey more than 2 or 3 days to be here, sharing and praising God, and being prepared to hear His Word. They came to seek the blessing of God, and they will take the blessing of God with them. To everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries, may God bless you greatly as well. And may we all receive the blessings of God this morning as one body. And let us be asking God for Israel. May God protect and watch us over Israel, the earthly Israel, which is being attacked right now. Isaiah 59:19 says, "The enemy shall come in like a flood, but the spirit of YHWH shall lift up a standard against him." And that is for the heavenly Israel and for the earthly Israel. The enemy will not be able to prevail. Therefore, God, the Creator of heavens and earth, the Father of that firstborn Son, of whom He said, "Israel is my Son, my firstborn," He will watch over His Son and will take care of Him. And He will have also the church bride there protecting her. How? By covering her with your prayers and each elect speaking the word and protecting Israel. So let us be praying for Israel. And just like the noise that there was here beside us quieted down on this occasion, may the war also calm down over there for Israel. How God fulfills it first in the heavenly Israel, notice now, may it also be fulfilled for the earthly Israel. We were struggling from early hours, but notice, the Lord has prevailed and His program. On this occasion, the Reverend Claudisley is visiting us from the Pentecostal Church, and he came with his wife and his children, and also is with us the Reverend or Brother Vinicius Hipner da Costa is with us. He is a believer of the message of Brother Branham, and he is also with us. So may God bless him, and may the Lord open the scriptures to him, open his understanding, to comprehend His word on this occasion, and each one of us as well. Let us search in the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, verse 6 and on, where He tells us, chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, verse 1 and on says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." On everlasting gospel, there he places a Star of David. And he writes Zechariah chapter 4. "And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." And he writes Revelation 10:1-11 and 11:3-14. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come." And he draws Star of David there on the side. And he writes Isaiah 61:1. And on top he writes several scriptures we have already read. "And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." The angel with the everlasting gospel. You may please be seated. It is a cause for joy and gladness to be here in Brazil and to see that there is a people that is being prepared for the transformation. What prepares the church bride at this time is that great rapturing faith, which the Reverend William Branham told us, that the thunders are the ones that contain that rapturing faith. And he tells us, in the message, the prophetic description of the Son of Man at the last day, which was a message preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on August 29, 1999, in Topo Chico, Mexico. He tells us, now let us turn to page 154 of the Book of the Seals, where he tells us, notice, "And when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now notice there at the top, he writes, in that portion that he reads in that message, he says, "In the dispensation of the Holy Spirit equals the dispensation of the kingdom. In the dispensation of the Son of God equals the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of the Father equals the dispensation of the law." And he says, our Brother William continues to say, after reading this portion, "And with the coming of the Holy Spirit in human flesh at the last day, the ministries of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus will be manifested. Because the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord, who is Christ in Holy Spirit, is the one who has the ministries. Therefore, he will operate them through human flesh at the last day." On page 51 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 443, it tells us, Jesus gave them power, and he protects Act 238. He backs her right up there, that lion. Here comes that swiftness of the gospel with this eagle, saying, these works that I do, shall you do also. More than this shall you do. Fly across the world with it. And he drew a cornerstone to the right. And he writes at the top, Gospel of the Eagle. Because eagle shows us that he's a prophet, of which on page 346 in the Book of the Seals, he tells us, and then according to the time that God was going to deliver the antediluvian world, he sent the eagle. That was Noah. And the time he was going to deliver Israel, he sent the eagle. That was Moses. Do you believe that the time, even on John, on the Isle of Patmos, this message was so perfect, he couldn't trust it with an angel? To the left, he writes, eagle, prophet. You know, an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? And on the left, he writes, Elijah. You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelation 22, let's see if it was an eagle. Yeah, see? Sure, he was an angel, he's the messenger, but he was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelation to him. Now notice, in the coming of the Son of Man, he comes with his angels, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And he goes on to say, and now let's see how all of this will take place. If it is something that's going to happen, it's because it hasn't been made a reality yet. On page 168 of the Book of the Seals, on the last paragraph, it says, and at the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, Brother William says, that is, he will become incarnate in the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate man. As we have been talking in these previous messages, the Holy Spirit was taken out from the ages. He was taken out of the dispensation of grace. He was the one that prevented the spirit of the Antichrist to come incarnate. But notice that when the Holy Spirit was taken out of the ages, the spirit of the Antichrist has been manifesting himself more openly among mankind. But he says that then the Holy Spirit would come incarnate in a new age and in a new dispensation, in the dispensation of the kingdom. In other words, it runs parallel. He said this in the Book of the Seals, where he tells us that in the time of Cain, let us see where that little part is. Cain and Abel, the crow and the dove, Jesus and Judas, where he speaks about that part. Because notice that those two manifestations, both of the enemy of God, as well as God through His Holy Spirit, They are manifestations that He had in each age and in each dispensation. And they run parallel. Now notice, on page 405, on the book of the seals, is where we find what we read from our memory. It says, and just about the time the Antichrist moved himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. In other words, to transform us. He writes there on top, to transform us, to adopt us. He also wrote that there. See, just write together. And they're both side by side, Cain and Abel, the crow and the dove, on the ark, Judas and Jesus. Now, our brother William keeps telling us here, and then we will have on earth, on one hand, in the Antichrist, the incarnation of the devil, and on the other hand, in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ, in the age of the cornerstone, we will have the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man of this end time. Where? In the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. It is like the sister who I was greeting this morning, and she was telling me that her father is not a believer, but he knew Brother William. And he found out that our brother William had departed. And he told her, William departed? Then he was not the last one. Then there must be somebody. Notice, a person who is not a believer believes more and understands more than one who is in the message. And that's how it's been in several places where they have heard my voice. And those people are not believers, and they stand up and say, but didn't you tell me that William had departed? No, he's not William. He's another person. Oh, but he has the same voice. And he says, he's the successor, right? Because another one must come. People who have not been in the message, in other words, that this makes sense to them. So how much more to a believer? They have to expect that every time God takes away a messenger, then he has to raise up another one. It's always been from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. But with the last one, he will keep that one. And notice, in this message that he preached here in Brazil, and I think it was the first one, correct me on whether it was the first one on November 28, 1978, and he titled it The Visitation of God to the Children of Abraham. And today, November 24th of 2024, The Visitation of Elohim is visiting the seed of Abraham, the sons and daughters of God of Brazil. And look at what it says here in this message, in this short portion. It says, this earthly body that has so many problems, well, one day we're going to exchange it for a superior garment. So notice, God changes his garment. And one day, we are going to change as well. Well, we can see that with the last garment that we have, which is going to be the transfigured body, we will stay with that one forever. Just like God will stay with the last one he uses. We are going to see him dressed as king with that garment. Because he presents himself. He reveals himself to his chosen ones in the end time. when the battle of the ages is over. Then all together, we will find ourselves in the age of the cornerstone, where God will present us dressed there as king, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, as the morning star, the star of David. And all these symbols that are in the scripture will be fulfilled in the last manifestation of God in the midst of his people. So what the Latin American and Caribbean people are seeing today is the last garment that the Lord will have on this earth as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work. He told us that the dispensation of grace was about to end, that the door of the dispensation of grace was about to close. Therefore, when that mighty angel comes from heaven, he cried out with a loud voice, and seven thunders uttered their voices. Now notice, there he also proclaims that time is no more, the time of the dispensation of grace. Therefore, God has to have a messenger. The Lord has to have a messenger who fulfills his coming as king, as judge of all the earth. Remember that the dispensation of the kingdom is being established first in our hearts, and it is all going to reach that climax part where that kingdom will be so and so established in our lives that will transform us. Just as that kingdom has been built in the heart of human beings from age to age. And notice that at the end, this kingdom of the Gentiles will also be changed. In other words, this messianic kingdom is physically intertwining with the kingdom of the Gentiles. And he tells us, or our brother William continues to tell us, in the message we are reading, and let's start a bit earlier, to refresh a little bit on what we were reading. And then we will have on earth, on one hand, in the Antichrist, the incarnation of the devil, and on the other hand, in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ, in the age of the cornerstone, we will have the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man of this end time. In the book of quotations, on page 127, paragraph 1135, it tells us, the Word has become flesh, exactly like he promised in Luke 17, Malachi 4. And all, see, that's right, Revelation. All true life that was in the stalk, tassel, and husk is now gathering in the seed, ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. Amen. The first come last. And the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become the seed again. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes, sir. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message, and he writes Gospel of the Grace, and last message is the same thing. And on top he writes Gospel of the Kingdom. And there at the bottom he writes, the resurrection equals the harvest. And above that, he writes, Alpha and Omega. And above Alpha and Omega, he writes, First coming yesterday. And above Omega, he writes, Today, second coming. And he also writes, the Word made flesh yesterday and today. And he draws a sun, S-U-N, on the left side. We had already read this one. And the different drawings that he made there. Now notice, also in the Book of the Ages, speaks to us about the Amen. On 333. On 333 of the Book of the Ages, he says, He is the God of the Amen. He never changes. What He does never changes. He says it, and it stands fast. He does it, and it's done forever. None can take from what He says or add to it. So let it be. Amen. So let it be. Aren't you glad that you serve that kind of a God? You can know exactly where you are with Him at any time and at all the time. He is the Amen God and won't change. There to the right, he writes, you can know your position with God, of which he told us, when the bride knows her position, there the rapture will take place. We have understood, we have known his position. Who has come to know his position? The bride. Therefore, he said that when she knew her position, the rapture would come for those who knew his position. Therefore, the rapture is at the door. Don't be dismayed. We are almost there. It won't be long. God is placing us in the right position at this time so that we may receive those promises which are for those who love His coming and are waiting for that promise in them. His coming is not for those who will not be transformed. His coming is for those who will be transformed. That is why, for some time now, the Holy Spirit has been searching our lives. Don't think you can escape from God. He knows if you are sincere or not. The Word will try who you are. These things say the Amen. I like that. It means that whatever he said is final. Revelation 10, 1 to 6, and Revelation 11, he wrote that on top. And to the left, he writes, the Amen, the Gospel of the Kingdom. In other words, the everlasting Gospel. It means that whatever he said to the first age and to the second age and to all ages about his own true church and about the false vine, it's exactly right, and it won't change. It means that what he started out with in Genesis, he will finish in Revelation. There he writes, what he started out with in Genesis, he finishes in Revelation. He has to, for he's the Amen, so let it be. He draws a cornerstone and the ages to the left. Now we can see again why the devil hates the book of Genesis and Revelation. He hates the truth. He knows the truth will prevail. In other words, the Word. He knows what his end will be. In the first pages of the ages, he tells us that he doesn't like to be exposed. It's around the first few pages. If you find it there, which is where he says, the devil doesn't like to be exposed. 14, page 14. It says, in this revelation, he tells us what the end of the devil is. He tells us how he's going to deal with the devil and cast him into the lake of fire. He reveals the end of the wicked ones who follow Satan, and Satan hates that. Have you ever noticed how Satan hates two books of the Bible more than all others? Through liberal theologians and pseudo-scientists, he is always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways, and his destruction. Now notice, as the works of the Antichrist are uncovered more and more, the more he then gets enraged, and the more he is then discovered. Notice what we were seeing in these days. Where did the mark of the beast begin? The mark of the beast is unbelief. Now look. That is why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And in those books, he is exposed for exactly what he is. He told me, when it's your turn. And there. But that when it's your turn, the moment would come where it would be through the Word. To identify that seed of the serpent's trail. He says, what Brother Branham was going to preach, he says, I'll have to expose names. He says, don't think that's going to be easy for you, Benji, because those are people that you love. I told him, I hope not to mention names, and let the Word take care of it. Because notice, how was it that Jesus, he said, you have betrayed your master, your Lord, with a kiss? Everything that is going to be happening will fill many with sadness. But you must be aware that the Scriptures must be fulfilled. And just as it happened in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, where the people were filled with sadness, but notice, they walked more upright then, because they knew it wasn't Peter then, but it was the Holy Spirit. You don't know how much I have stretched and stretched, and I have asked God for that time when we will be sad to come closer to the end, because many of our people will suffer a whole lot. Don't you think that Ananias and Sapphira were not loved by the people? They were people who worked hard in the work. They were part of the group. They were trustworthy, but there was no sincerity in their hearts. There were lies in their hearts. And God hates a liar. and at this time, because the Holy Spirit is incarnate in the midst of His people, God will not overlook any liar that condemns lie. Now he goes on to say, Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me, and I have no part in him. In other words, Jesus said that of Satan, that he has no part in me, and I have no part in him, nor do we. The devil would like to prove that's different. He then starts to add on and to sugarcoat it, adorn it. No, but you can eat. Same thing the serpent said back then in Eden to Eve. So he does all he can to destroy confidence in the Word. He destroyed Eve's confidence in the Word, and she fell. But not us. Our confidence is fully and wholly in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, said the Lord. But when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the Word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. Now notice, he continues saying on 3:33, he hates the truth. In other words, the devil. He knows the truth will prevail. He knows what his end will be, how he fights that. But we are on the winning side. We, I mean the believers of His Word only. In other words, not the lukewarm, not the hypocrites. We are on the Amen side. Are on the Amen side. Now, our brother William continues to say in the message here, and that man must be a dispensational prophet, where the Holy Spirit is manifested at the last day in the age of the cornerstone, operating the ministries of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and manifesting the attributes Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, manifesting the attributes that he showed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 to 20. There we will be seeing his head and his hair white as white wool, and his eyes as a flame of fire, a sword proceeding out of his mouth, his voice as the sound of many waters, and his feet like fine brass. In other words, we will be seeing those attributes that were shown there being fulfilled in the ministries pertaining to this end time and the message pertaining to this end time. And when the elect of God are seeing the angel who was different from the rest manifested through human flesh, through his angel messenger, they will be seeing the symbolism of the white hair and white head of the Lord. We will be seeing it fulfilled. We will be seeing the white hair and the white head of the Son of Man. We will be seeing that symbolism fulfilled. Today you are seeing that symbolism being fulfilled. And that means that he will be fit to judge, and he will be presenting himself as judge of all the earth. On page 113, on the book of quotations, paragraph 993, he tells us, and as the Father sent him to preach to the living, to those who had hope and then present the same message to those who had no hope. And he writes on the top, the same message to those who had hope and to those who had no hope. Today, it will be the gospel of the kingdom. It seems too fitting at this time that that will have to be done, because the Spirit of Christ living in us does not change the nature of Him, or doesn't change God's system. He must be the same in every generation. He must be the same. Said, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. The ministries must be the same. And there he writes, Revelation 7, 2-5. At the end, 11, 3-6. And 14, verse 1. Now, our brother William goes on to say, then his eyes as flame of fire. When the ministries of Moses and Elijah are seen being operated by the Holy Spirit through the veil of flesh, the angel of Jesus Christ, through whom he will be manifested operating those ministries. When we see those ministries operating through the angel of Jesus Christ, we will be seeing the eyes of the Son of Man as flames of fire. In the message, in His presence, He tells us on page 17 on this message, He says, now listen, church. This is a message preached by the Reverend William Branham. Now listen, church. I love you, and I want you to listen to me now. As Brother McCullough used to say, I'm going to say something. Always put the Lord before you. And don't you do nothing that you wouldn't do in His presence. Because He is watching over you. See? The Lord is encamped about those who fear Him. He doesn't. Three dots. He just stays right near you. And He knows everything you're doing. And you must recognize that. When you start to tell a lie, don't do it. Remember, God is listening at you. And to the left He draws Star of David. Those are the two eyes that run to and fro throughout the whole earth. If you start to do a little cheat, don't you do it. God's looking at you. If you start to take His name in vain, don't do it. God's listening at you. We are in a time of correction. God is love. But He is also consuming fire. And when He corrects His children, it is because He loves them. Don't you correct your son or your daughter? Of course you do. We are in the house of the Lord, where we come for Him to correct us. But we don't close some doors on Him so that He doesn't enter there. Instead, we open all doors to Him. If you want to be transformed, and you want to be ready to be transformed, open all the doors to the Lord. Clean your house. Sweep even under the carpet. Dust off everything you have hidden. And you will see how God will use you more and more. And in all fields, both spiritual as material, God will pour out blessings upon you. And God will begin to work there. And if you have any spiritual or physical problem, but you already opened the doors to the Lord. Have the assurance that He will remove every unclean spirit and everything that grieves you. Let's lay aside every weight of sin, the Bible says, but open the doors. If you don't open your life to Him, He's a real gentleman. And He knocks first to enter. If you open to Him, He will come in. If you do not open, He will stay outside. But if you open to Him, oh, welcome Him. And say, here is my house, Lord. Here is my home. It's a little messy, but help me with your Holy Spirit to keep it clean, to keep it tidy, so that you are pleased with this home. And He will do so. But if you shut the door on Him, He will never help you. That's being honest with God. If you start to take His name in vain, don't do it. God's listening at you. Start to smoke a cigarette. He's watching you. Now notice, there on the front He writes, lying, smoking, etc. That is drinking as well, liquor, or drugs, or everything that harms the body. God is watching you and listening to you. Don't do it. Now, notice on this writing that He left us on a notebook. He tells us there are pagan religions that use incense in their rituals. The thinking man's filter, the Word. When God told Brother Branham to take a pack of cigarettes and gave him the subject for a message. And he continues writing, smoking. And he keeps writing, is offering incense to the devil. And you look up the word incense, it means to release smoke in some direction. It has several definitions. In other words, whoever smokes is offering incense to the devil. Is offering incense to the devil. Now notice the angel. On one hand, Revelation 8. The angel with the golden censer. And you already know that scripture. Is offering incense to the devil. The person identifies himself as his slave and his servant. In other words, the one that smokes is identifying himself as a servant of the devil. And in the person, and there is a spirit from the fifth dimension in the person who likes nicotine, tobacco tar. And tobacco tar, he wrote tobacco tar, if you look it up, means a chemical substance made when tobacco is burnt. And demands it from the person. That is why it is so difficult to the person to break free from that addiction, which produces him cancer. Which a spirit materializes in a cell that broke and turned into a malignant cell where that malignant spirit resides and gives malignant life, and he grows. And that is the body of that cancer spirit materialized. and he brings forth death. Later, we will place his writing in the Bible study so that you may have it. Now notice in the book, Demonology, on page 9 of this message, he tells us, the message, physical realm, the Reverend William Branham tells us, but now, what about cancer? Let's talk of him a little bit. Now remember, the angel told Brother Branham that not even cancer would stand before him. He said there to that ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation. And it was the first unclean spirit that was taken out of a person as the ministry of Moses and Elijah began, when the word was spoken and the cancer disappeared from Joel Alvarez, a Mexican person. Notice how that ministry began, by speaking the word, and the cancer did not prevail. It was removed. Let's talk of him a little bit. Now, God gave you your life, and say, here you are today, here I am. There is nothing on my hand, but there might be a cancer on my hand sometime. Well, how did that cancer get there? Let us see what that cancer is. Now, let's take him apart. And he writes, cancer. Let's go take him. Now, he's a bunch of cells, too. Do you know that? Tumor, cataract, any of those things are cells. They don't have no form. And he writes, they have no form. Some of them spreads out, and some look like a spider, and some look run streaks. A red cancer, just like long red threads that run through in the... And then there's a rose cancer, which usually comes on the breast of a woman. It's like pancakes lying on one another. And then they go spraddling out, and they just grow anywhere. Sometimes tumors are lopsided. This way, long, oblong, and everything. They have no form, because they are after a spirit which has no form. And there he writes, there are demons that have no form. But it's a developing of cells. It's a bunch of cells that say, in you right now is a tumor or a cancer is developing cells, growing, growing, growing. Is eating, sucking your life from you. It's living on the bloodstream. Cataracts take the mucus of the eye and grows right over it. Cover himself over. Shut your eye off. Some of them comes and never gets. Three dots. Like tubercular. That comes just in little small germ. There is nothing to the size of it. The same size germ makes an elephant, makes a chigger. See? Nothing to the size of the germ. And some of them takes body form, some never does. And some never goes into cells. Some become spirit. Torments the soul. And he writes on a note card, he writes, cancer and other illnesses are from the fourth dimension. And they can be in the body or in the soul. Now, a person who is sick in the soul, that is a terrible torment, worse than a physical illness. Cancer and other illnesses are from the fourth dimension, and they can be in the body or in the soul. Our brother Branham continues to say, we'll try to get to that part. I'll leave that part for tomorrow afternoon, if I can, where that soul's spirit comes and how down under here. And now, friends, I'm not telling this from some kind of psychology. I have dealt with demons for years, and you know that. If you only knew the thing after the services is over at night, what goes on sometime, you don't know. Remember, when you come against a spirit, you better know what you're speaking about. Just don't stand there and carry on, because ain't going to do any good. But when actually a demon has to obey you, he'll recognize it. It ain't how loud you holler. It ain't how much oil you put on. It's what's back here that he'll recognize the truth. Jesus just said to me, come out. See? Remember, the disciples had been kicking and twisting and trying to cast him out and everything. That was when he came down from Mount Transfiguration. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? Said, because your unbelief. Said, come out of him. The boy fell and had the hardest fit he ever had. See? They recognize authority. Look at those boys down there. Those vagabonds who seen Paul casting out devils. They said, we can do the same thing. Some priest's son. So they go down and say, we can cast out devils. Acts 19. If you want to look it up and see that story there, in Acts 19, they went down to a man had epileptic fits and said, Acts chapter 19, verse 8 and on. Let us read that portion of the scripture, it says. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief of or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Ziba, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the devil's spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Notice they knew who Jesus was and who Paul was. But he says, but you, who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcome them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That is how those who enter with strange fire will come out, naked and wounded, and they won't be able to give healing to anyone. They will be exposed. He continues to say in the message we are reading, Demonology, Physical Realm, now, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, Brother Branham is speaking about the scripture. The devil said, now, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? You know what happened? Jumped on the man, tore their clothes, and they had the fits themselves and run out into the street. They came out worse there. Them same demons live today. So there is a lot of fanatism. This is the church this evening. There is a lot of fanatism in the land today called divine healing that ought to be shut up. That's what brings reproach upon the real cause. That's why you have such a hard struggle. There is a lot of stuff called religion today that ought to be shut up. Nothing but cults. That's what makes the true church of God have such a hard struggle with it. But we're America, see? That's the way to be. God says the wheat and creepers, in other words, vines, and briars grow it together. Don't try to plunk them up. Let them grow together. But by their fruits, you know them. There is no fruit. Why? There is no life. There is nothing there. As we read a while ago in the message Desperation, page 17, the very Holy Ghost can fall upon an unbeliever and make him act just exactly the same way a believer acts. But by their fruits, they are known. That's what I'm speaking. That's the token. Now, he goes on to say, now watch this cell. Let's say, for instance, like a lot of time, the red cancer usually hits in the womb of a woman. female bruises, and so forth. Now that, let's take that. That fellow down now on his cell, this cancer, now a cancer. Everything in the natural types the spiritual. Are you aware of that? Everything in the natural types the spiritual, regardless. Now, by you knowing what brings forth diseases, what produces cancer, and where it comes from, and you know who it is, that it is the devil, he doesn't belong in that house. You have the power to cast him out, because it's your house, and in your house, the owner is God. And therefore, there can't be two masters in your house. So you take the word, take the sword, and start casting out. Turn on the light. Isn't that what she got a hold of? A candle to give light. And she grabbed the broom. There, that light is represented that enlightens her. And the stick is the rod. It is the word. And she began to sweep. And she began to dust. And the neighbors said, so-and-so's house is so dusty. They didn't know what was going on in there. But later, when she called her little sisters, you already had the house, as we say, spectacular. It was clean. And then you could share your home. You could share what you had. Now notice, that is the way with each elect. If you have an illness, it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Therefore, you already know where it comes from. Cast him out from your life, out of your body, by believing the word. This doesn't belong to me. I am the owner of this body, commanded by the Lord. Come out of me. And you will see that every sickness, both spiritual as well as physical, will come out of your body. Only believe. It is by believing in that word without doubting for a minute. Now, he goes on to say where we left off in the message in his presence. He says, starts to smoke a cigarette, he's watching you. See, we used to sing a song. All along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you every step that you take. And he draws Star of David to the side, a little higher up. This great eye is awake, there's an eye watching you. Remember, do like David. Put the Lord always before your face. Then your heart will rejoice and your flesh shall rest in hope. For he promised it. Yes, sir. He knew that he would rise up because God promised it. All right. When we come into his presence, we are changed. Never to be the same. And he drew a cornerstone and inside a Star of David. Look all down through the ages of every walk of life at man. Look at Abraham. You say, well, the changed life is just for ministers. Oh no, the changed life is for everybody, see? Now, our brother William continues to say, and when we are listening to the message of the great voice of the trumpet, the message that reveals all these things that must shortly come to pass, we will be seeing the sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, the creative word being spoken to bring blessing to every son and daughter of God. speaking the blessings that will come to all the sons and daughters of God, and speaking the divine judgment that will come upon the kingdom of the Gentiles in the stage of the feet of iron and clay. Notice he said, in the message, the second coming of the Lord, and it's on page 5, and it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbeliever and sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. And it's the most blessed time for the believer, for his redemption is at hand. There is two factions in the earth tonight, the believer and unbeliever. The one the Lord is coming to receive, and the one the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, will bless one and will curse the other at his appearing. In the book of Quotations, on page 22, paragraph 181, it tells us, it was the waters of judgment that destroyed the unbeliever. And it was the same waters that packed Noah to safety, see? And it's the gospel message, and he writes, of the kingdom that will destroy the unbeliever. Thou take the church in the rapture before the judgment ever strikes. It is the same message that blesses the elect, and is the same message that curses the unbelievers. And on top he writes, the gospel of the kingdom, the evangelical message of judgment. Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. Now he goes on to say, and that's how these seven attributes mentioned in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 to 20 will be seen, materialized, carried out in the coming of the angel that was different from the rest, the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord. Christ, the Holy Spirit, manifested at the last day in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ. In the age of the cornerstone, through his angel messenger. If we find that veil of flesh, we will be finding the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we will be finding the Holy Spirit. Christ, the angel of the covenant, manifested through human flesh, operating the ministries of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and manifesting those seven attributes that were seen in the Son of Man. Those seven attributes will be seen manifested through that manifestation of Christ. The angel of the covenant through human flesh in the last day. On page 59 on the book of the seals, page 59 on this book, it tells us, Moses, under the blood of bulls and goats, with his confession in the Word of God, and God could take that simple man and put his word in his mouth, and he proved that he was Jehovah's servant, for he could walk out there and Jehovah spoke to him by vision. He walked out, stretched his hands towards the east. And now remember, God has spoken to him. It's God's thoughts. God uses man. God spoke to him. Is that right? He said, go stretch that rod in your hand towards the east. And say, flies. Moses, under the blood of that goat, sheep, walk out there and took that stick, reach towards the east. Thus saith the Lord, let there be flies. Never heard a fly. Now notice, he spoke the word. And anyone who was there next to Moses could say, look, he spoke the word, and nothing happened. And they could start to even make fun of Moses. Notice one case. When a brother Branham came to baptize a person, a friend, who smoked, and he said, no, I haven't. I can't go to be baptized. I smoke and I have many things in my life that I have to change first. And Brother Branham said, no, come. Now, we can look for the story later on to see how it happened. Well, the point is that he took him and the man was baptized. He says that afterwards he went out, lit a cigarette and continued on. Anyone could say, look, he says that when the person is baptized, he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that person continues to do the things of the world. That could be a cause for mockery. But notice then, God began to work on that person, because it could be at that very moment, it could be the next day, but it was a word that had been spoken. See, he identified himself in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And there was a promise there. He identified himself with the first coming of the Lord. But at the moment, it seemed like he didn't receive the blessings contained in that act. But notice, later on, Brother Branham goes to visit him. And he says that he passed by a store and brought him a pack of cigarettes to take it to him. When he takes it to him, no, get that away from me. Wait a minute, what happened? I can't even stand to look at it. He was even terrified to look at that pack of cigarettes. What did happen? God fulfilled his word in that person. But it seemed at the moment, many mockers could have come out there. But now notice, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, everything is progressive. And for sure, there may be many people who come out at the beginning, and it can be seen that nothing happened to them. And scoffers may come out saying that nothing happened. Notice, I'm telling you, because it has happened in the previous dispensations. And all of that is going to be so that many people will be speaking what comes out of their heart. But notice, later that person was healed from that nicotine spirit. And thus, the time will come when it will be carried out. Let us see here if you found it, that part, to read it exactly as it is. Because notice, everything was shown in the dispensation of grace. What it would be. Page 17. Let us see there. Since they found it for me. Let us see here. I'm looking at a man now sitting in the back of the room here. I remember telling him that on an old barn stall one day by a manger. And he said, "But I'm no good." I said, "I know you're not." And I said, "I'm not either." But I said, "You're looking at what you are. And quit looking at what you are and look what he is." What a lesson. He said, "If I could just get rid of these cigarettes, Brother Branham, I would be a Christian." I said, "Don't get rid of them. You're trying to get good and then come to him. He never come to save good men. He came to save bad men that know they were bad." In other words, who recognize it, who are sincere. "I have this, which I want to break free from. Help me, God. Only you can help me." And they are sincere with God. He said, "Well," I said, "listen, you don't want to go to hell, do you?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you don't have to. He died that you might not have to go." He said, "What do I have to do?" I said, "Nothing. It's just that simple." He said, "But if I can ever..." I said, "There you go. Back to that cigarette again. Quit thinking about that cigarette. Just remember, think about him. What he did, what he is, not what you are. You're no good, and you never was, and never will be. But what he is, he's the one." And I said, "Now the only one thing you have to do, if he took your place down there, you just willingly accept what he did. Only thing you have to do is just accept it. Accept him." Accept who? In the dispensation of grace, the first coming of the Lord, as the Lamb of God. Why, he said, "That's simple, because God makes everything simple. I'll do that." I said, "Here's the creek. See? I brought him up here and baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of his people are sitting here, and I know they felt funny at me for doing that. But I know what I was doing. And so do I." The Holy Spirit is raising your faith on this occasion. Just follow the trail, the way of the Word. I seen in the man something that was genuine. He saw sincerity. I could see it there. And I took him and baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when we did that, it wasn't long after that I went down to his son's house. We seen a vision of a tree being broke at a certain place. And the man fell, almost broke his back. Took him in the hospital. And that night, the Lord revealed to me that was the end of cigarettes. See how it was afterwards? Glory to God. So, we rejoice. Notice, at all times, we rejoice over what happened. But today we are rejoicing over this present day. Over what God is doing in your life and in my life. So, the next day, he wanted some cigarettes. See? After what happened to him, but God had already revealed to Brother Branham that it was the end of cigarettes. So the next day he wanted some cigarettes. I said, I'll buy him a carton and take it to him. You just watch and see. His cigarette day are done. He's never smoked one since. And never wanted one since. See? The first thing you've got to do is to come to that fountain. You've got to come to that water. Realize it's nothing that you can do. It's what he done for you. You don't have to dig. You don't have to pump out. You don't have to quit this. You don't have to quit that. The only thing you have to do is get there and drink. That's all. If you're thirsty, drink. And that's how it happened in the first coming of the Lord. Rivers of living water sprung up from his body, said Jesus, of whoever drank of that water. And in his second coming, whoever drinks from that water, that fountain of that water, he will not die. He will not go into the great tribulation. He will be transformed and raptured. All those who drink of the water of the second coming of the Lord. Because it's a promise. He has promised it. He said that it is a promise. Now notice, he goes on to say, he said, let us turn to page 59 on the Book of the Seals. He said, go stretch that rod in your hand towards the east and say, flies. Moses, under the blood of that goat, sheep, walked out there and took that stick, reached towards the east, thus saith the Lord, let there be flies. Never heard of fly. He walked on back. It's already spoke. It's a thought. Now it's spoke, it's expressed. It's the word of God then. It come into human lips, a simple man under the blood of bull or goats. First thing you know, a green fly began to fly around. The next thing you know, there were 5 pounds per yard. Now, he writes there, the creation of flies, plagues. And he writes, the rod equals the word, the gospel of the kingdom towards Israel today. And he writes, east equals Israel. Now notice, in these writings where he places, there in this notebook he wrote, the shepherd's staff equals the shepherd's word. The staff equals the creative word, which Moses and Elijah will have today. Now look at this other one. He writes, his two hands, remember the symbols that he was telling us there in that message from the Book of Revelation. He writes, his two hands equals Moses and Elijah. His two wings equals Elijah and Moses. His two eyes equals Elijah and Moses. His two feet equals Elijah and Moses. His two people equals the church and the Jews. And there he continues writing, the revenge against the Midianites was carried out by Moses, and Balaam died there. And further down he writes, Aaron equals the ministers. And below that he writes, below Aaron he writes, equals exalted teacher. And to the right, he writes Moses and Elijah. And he continues to write below, because there he's placing those two people who held Moses' hands back then. And then he writes Hur, and below Hur's he writes equals whole. And on Hur he writes equals the helpers. And he writes Moses and Elijah. Now notice this portion that he wrote here. The ministers joining their ministries to the one of Moses and Elijah, they uphold those ministries, which are the two hands of the Son of Man, of Christ. And there comes the title deed. Notice that this writing, there is a huge message there. And it is something so big. Because notice, in the book of the ages, but I'm going to read this little part again. The ministers joining their ministries to the one of Moses and Elijah, they upholding those ministries, which are the two hands of the Son of Man, of Christ. And there comes the title deed. In the book of the ages, on page 300, every minister who's hearing me, who ministers the word at this time, and is in the age of the cornerstone, take hold of that word. I want you to be of a blessing for the entire church of the Lord. Page 300. He's reading from Matthew 10, 1 to 8. And he says, on page 300, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out, and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease." Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not." Now notice that Judas Iscariot was here, but notice that by some point, when the time came for him to make known to the disciples stronger things, he did not get that far. That was not for Judas. And he came out from their midst in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. The Judases are not here. They are brought out. And if anyone remains in, he will also come out. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he writes, kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10, 1-8. And he writes there, as Moses did with Aaron and with the 70. this ministry that he gave them was actually the sharing of his own ministry with them. Isn't that what he wrote here in this writing? It's the ministers holding up those two hands of Moses and Elijah. And there, they are partaking of that great work. Haven't we been talking about that for some time? For it says in Matthew 9:35-38, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he writes, gospel of the kingdom, gospel kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice that was taking place in the days of Jesus, where the gospel of the kingdom was being preached. But it stopped when it began on the day of Pentecost. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom stopped. And at the same time, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached again because a new dispensation has begun. The dispensation of the kingdom. Now notice, Brother Branham tells us that there was a whole lot of need in the world. Quotations, paragraph 216, which is from page, let us see, 216, page 26, says, back then, it was in the first coming of the Lord. He was sent. Notice, there we saw the name of the ones that he sent, as he wrote there, as Moses did with Aaron and the 70. Oh, do you want your name to be in history as well? And to be part of the dispensation of the kingdom as an instrument, like Aaron and Hur, where? By holding up the hands of Moses? Well then, behold, I am seeing a people who are and will continue to hold up the hands of the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and who will be of a help for all of Brazil. May you be of a blessing to Brazil in this third pool. May the tenth ministry be extended upon you. Believe it, because it is a promise. If it happened in the dispensation of the law, and it happened in the dispensation of grace, in the dispensation of the kingdom, will be the same way. There will be ministers and brethren. We can't leave them aside. These blessings are for ministers and for brethren as well. Hold on to that word and be an instrument to uphold the hands, the ark, the word, in those ministries of Moses and Elijah. And not only in Brazil, but in every place that are tuned on this occasion to the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and are listening and watching and later reading this conference. He says, that has been promised would come into existence in the tabernacle here, before we hit the tent. Before we hit the tent, he underlines that a whole lot. Well, now, as far as I know, There was nothing no more than just. Just soon as I went in there, the Spirit of the Lord came in, and He just started discerning the spirits and telling the people of their troubles and so forth. Because He wanted that pool to be fulfilled under His ministry. And He said, I'm going to bring my wife in there to see what happens. But He says that the Holy Spirit continued the way it was working through the ministry of Brother Branham. And He continued discerning the spirits and telling the people their problems. And it seemed like that maybe it's just going to continue on for a while until that tent comes in. Up under the same ministry that I've had. That is the fifth ministry of Elijah. Because in the interviews today, there were four great outstanding visions took place in the interviews. So seemingly, maybe, I will continue on until that. Maybe the tent starts. Or whatever it is, He has chosen to begin to declare His name in a new way. But when He does, He will be just as perfect as the others. That is, the other two, the first and the second pool. And I'm trusting to God that it will be greater than the others. Well, if it is a revival that was going to come to the church, He said it. The church hasn't had a revival yet. What revival is Brother Branham referring to? The revival that the thunders would bring. It was a special revival that contained that special manna. It contained the rapturing faith. That is the revival that He was referring to. And I'm trusting to God that it will be greater than the others. Not because of our ministry, but because of the sick and needy people. There's such a need in the land today. He writes there, the name equals in the tent. Now, he keeps saying here where we left off in this message that we are reading, the prophetic description of the Son of Man for the last day. Now we can see that the way it is all prophesied is the great way that God sees it. But the fulfillment will be in the simple way in which God always used to fulfill the great things that He has promised. Now notice, on page 168, of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1496, he says, why me, an old man, suffered all my life? Why did He heal me now? I believe I'll write this trail again. I got to bring a message. And there he writes, 50 Elijah, year of Jubilee. And I say to my father tonight, as Junior seen in a dream the other night of the wings of this dove moving in these windows here, Lord. Your servant reporting for service. And he writes there, and he writes, a new message will come equals year of Jubilee, the gospel of the kingdom. And he also writes, by your prophet, Moses and Elijah. He wrote that going upward to the right. And he also writes there at the top, the gospel of the kingdom, 5th Elijah. I'll ride this trail again. I have to bring a message of the year of Jubilee. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and the simple part will be the part pertaining to the veil of flesh. The great part will be the part pertaining to the angel of the Lord, the angel who was different from the rest. He is the great one. Who will be behind that ministry? The Holy Spirit. The angel who was different from the rest. The angel who was different from the rest, the angel of the covenant. The angel who delivered the Hebrew people, the angel of the Lord, who is our beloved Lord Jesus Christ in his theophanic body. So we will be able to differentiate between the human part, the angel of Jesus Christ, and the divine part which will be manifested, which is the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant who delivered the Hebrew people, who is Jesus Christ in the New Testament, who has been in the midst of his church from stage to stage at this end time, just as he manifested through each angel messenger, he will be manifested through his angel messenger in the age of the cornerstone. And that manifestation will come to the point that it will reach the fullness of the Godhead of Jesus Christ. And when Christ adopts his angel, that will then be the fullness of Christ in him. Now, in these days, we were reading a message where he tells us the glorified body cannot die. Therefore, those who are waiting for someone who has departed to rise and resurrect in a glorified body to fulfill Revelation 11, they are mistaken. Later on, we will read all those portions where it shows what the adoption is and what the transformation is. The adoption of a ministry, the adoption of the message, the adoption as a group, as a church, as an age, as a dispensation. Now notice, after Mount Transfiguration, he could die. He was born without sin. But notice, he took our sins. He was already adopted. But since he took our sins, he could die. But then, after he was resurrected and received the glorified body, there he could no longer die. He had to die in the flesh. Now notice that for the fulfillment of Revelation 11, that ministry is adopted. Therefore, he can say, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself to take it again. That is why he will be able to resurrect. It will be a short time. Don't despair. He said, a half hour might go by fast if you're having a good time. But in suspense between death and life, it's like a millennium. And seconds go by and one looks at the watch. And I don't know how many of you this has happened, that you're at an appointment or something and it's only 15, half an hour and it feels like an eternity. And that is because you're looking at the time. And each second, and you're looking, but the day isn't getting here soon enough. The day of rejoicing and happiness is not arriving, that I am waiting. it is there. Notice, it is and will be a worldwide sign, and the chosen ones will already be prepared at that moment, and they will know that this moment of joy is about to happen. That is why, when that happens, it will not happen the way it did in the first coming of the Lord, when he said, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They did not know. Later on, he opened their understanding on the road to Emmaus, and they knew. At that moment, they knew that he had to go through that, but they did not know it beforehand. But now, God has given us the full knowledge of the why has to be that way. That will be the final test, the final filter, where he will prove that you are an elect of God, that you have believed the gospel of the kingdom, that you are identified with the coming of the Lord, and that nothing in this world will separate you. No matter how many news they publish, no matter how many Facebook, TikToks, and all those things, and the devil uses all those possible ways to harm the children of God. But notice, God has allowed all of that, and the elect uses that well. They take advantage of those means for the advancement of the kingdom. But those who use all of that to divert and mislead God's elect will use that in full swing at that time. I have told you that so that when the time comes, I have told you before, and you know that it will be a hard time. It will be a difficult time. A squeeze was mentioned, but the people will get desperate then. Desperation. It's good for you to read the message along with the message token, because they were messages that were preached where what was spoken there will be completely fulfilled at this end time. There has to come a desperation so that we can receive what God promised us. And when Christ adopts his angel, that will then be the fullness of Christ in him. And the adoption for all the children of God comes at that time. Notice, with his adoption, at that time will come the adoption of all the children of God. Because with the adoption of the angel of Jesus Christ will come the adoption for the dead in Christ and for us who are alive. And what produces that? What is going to produce that? The gospel of the kingdom. Notice, there is a place in the book of the seals of the sixth seal preached by the Reverend William Branham in the message, The Sixth Seal, on page 544, where that paragraph 264 begins, he says, now notice, remember the vision of the constellation, Charlie, here you are. Something's going on. I told you, it's been all around you. But I wonder if you noticed it. Remember the constellation of the vision of the angels when I left here to go to Arizona? You remember what time is it, sirs? You remember that? Notice, there was only one great burst of thunder and seven angels appeared. That's right. One burst of thunder, seven angels appeared. And I saw the Lamb when he had opened the first seal, and I heard, as it was, the voice of a thunder, and one of the four beasts said, "Come and see." Notice one thunder, seven messages that's being sealed up and cannot be revealed until the last day of this age. And he writes, seven sealed messages. He wrote that upward. And he writes, the day of Pentecost. See what I mean? Now, have you noticed the mysterious part of this week? That's what it is. That's what it's been. It's been not a human being, a man. It has been the angels of the Lord. And to the right, he writes, the angels. And notice above at the top, he writes, a thunder equals a message equals the gospel of the kingdom. Seven equals perfection. Seven thunders equals a perfect message for the elect from here. And he drew a little cornerstone. A perfect message for the elect from here, from the age of the cornerstone. Where are those elect? Here we are. Here in Brazil. There is a group of elect who have that perfect message and who are here, and he drew a little cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. How detailed was Brother William? How he left us everything, being identified at this time. For he was the angel who brought us the good tidings, the good news. Notice, each angel messenger brought the good tidings, the good news, to his group. Because it was the Holy Spirit speaking through these messengers. But there, he himself came down to give Mary those good tidings. He was in the midst of his church, under the dispensation of grace, bringing the good tidings to the elect of God. He brought the good tidings, he brought the news, and he left. He left us the whole blueprint, the whole puzzle. But for that puzzle to be put together with each piece in its place, the one who left the puzzle was needed. And that Holy Spirit that was in the ages, who was taken out from the ages, has come in human flesh in the dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone. And the same one who left all that is the only one who knows and is the only one who can put it together. Because otherwise, you will find, or you will find yourself, putting the cow eating on top of the tree. Why would you start trying to put the puzzle together and the rapture in faith and the thunders when we have the giver, who is the Holy Spirit, putting the puzzle together and giving the elect of God all put together? How simple is the Lord, and how great is the work He's doing, but in simplicity. Now notice, He keeps saying in this other message, titled Time of Unity and Work to Receive the Promise of the Transformation, preached on May 14th of 2011 in La Florida, Santiago, Chile. We passed by there on this trip. Our brother Patricio is here with us and his wife. And there was something very beautiful that God was carrying out there. But remember, everything happens progressively. God is visiting His people, and He is seeing everything, and everything is being put in order because there is a lot of work, and a lot of labor will come, and everything has to be in order. First, let's find that tablet. Let's fix our house. And then, let's call our friends, sisters, our little sisters, whom are restless and will come soon. Now he says there, everything pertaining to the seven seals will be spoken. The title deed, the book of the seven seals, the Reverend William Branham says, is not open yet. On page 448 of the Book of the Seals, the Reverend William Branham tells us, 448, he tells us. Now, someone might ask about the Pentecostal, which was the third age. You see, each one of those ages only taken a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messengers to the age, because the Holy Ghost came Himself in His fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up on the others, we find there then the messenger sent. And all these scruples and things are to be placed in their place like that, then the rapture comes for the church. Notice, when he found himself with that mess on that fishing line in between his legs, all those things tangled up, where was he placed? Higher up, where he saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone who was there. He was no longer in the ages. And he says, then, after that, the rapture takes place for the bride. And he writes, rapture. And he writes, page 448. And he goes on to say, but as many is lauding all these different things, the sun turning to darkness, the moon, they put that way back here in the Christian age. They just fail to see them three questions was asked our Lord there, see, when He answered them. There He draws a cornerstone in the ages, and He writes, not in the Christian age. Now in these, see, I have to hurry up and answer these, because see, each one of them is a sermon 4 weeks long. You see, and you just get off on something else. But I don't mean to do that, because I want to get everybody's question as far as I can. These virgins, see, that's just part of them, is that age, see? Each age has the virgins. Now, the angel comes to the church, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, right, see? Then get over here, then after the writing to the church of Ephesus, compare that back. A seal is open. That's just the way we're bringing it. Try to get it all to you. See what I mean? If the Lord willing. What they have first? Church ages. That's right. Next thing, the message to the church ages. Everybody gets that clear now, see? First, we got the church ages and got the history, laid down the Nicaea councils and pre-Nicaea councils, and everything that we could find in history, and found out that the correct interpretation of the word was exactly with the history. And bring it on down to this day in this Laodicea. And you don't have to have history of that. This is making history now. See, there it is. And then showed what would be in this age. Now we come back with the seals and open that seal. God opens that seal for us. What's that? First, there's messengers, church age. Next is the seven seals. Now we find out the corruption that hits in the seventh church age. But the seventh seal doesn't reveal anything. What's going to happen to it? And he writes there to the left, the seventh seal. He wrote it on the top. See? Because at the end of that church age is to come a prophetic gift to reveal these things. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he writes upward, prophet. And our brother William continues to say, that was the teaching of what is going to happen. And where he brought the teaching of what was history and what's happening in his time. And all that is contained in the seals. But the title deed is still in the right hand of God. He is saying this on 2011. But the title deed is no longer in heaven. The title deed is on earth. That is why the claiming work is being carried out. But it's so simple. It is so humble that many would overlook it. But not you. You know. You haven't lost the word. Wherever the word is how? Veiled. When it is taken from the right hand of God, Christ then has changed from lamb to lion. Therefore, he wasn't back then as a lion. In that manifestation, because he was under the dispensation of grace. There Christ has changed from lamb to lion and from high priest to judge. And that is why in Revelation chapter 10 he cries out as when a lion roars. That is, he cries out like when what roars? A lion. There he is already as lion with the book open in his hand. And seven thunders uttering their voices. As our brother Miguel told us, when you pet a kitten, you comb it back. But if you combed it the wrong way or backwards, be careful. There he goes like this. Like when you tell your grandchildren, when they act like a lion, roar. Notice, when he says, it will be so simple, it is because it's very simple. God makes it simple, he has made it simple, for the simple elect. And that same simplicity is what complicates and tangles up the rest. But there is where the wisdom lies. It's not just any simplicity. It's a divine simplicity. It is a divine humility that only the elect comprehend it, understand it. No one else will be able to understand, will be able to comprehend, because they will stumble with the simplicity. With what do they stumble over and have stumbled from age to age and dispensation to dispensation? over the veil of flesh, and even more so if they have known him. Because if he's a strange person, for sure first they will try to dig up information of his life so that they can know. But look, they knew Jesus since he was born. And what was the first thing they did when he came before them? But isn't this the son? There they went to his past. They went to say what he did. This one is gluttonous and a wine drinker and friends of publicans and harlots. See? Bringing up things that Jesus did among the common of the people back then. But notice, the elect of God, when they told Nathanael, Philip said, notice, we have found the Messiah. What was the first thing Nathanael said? But can anything good come out of Nazareth? Mainly the Messiah? Come and see. When he went there, he was praying. Nathanael was praying for the coming of the Messiah. Wasn't there a time when we were in the midst of that sadness? And to whom shall we go, Lord, now? There was a prayer made by a people who were yearning and longing for his coming. And it passed. That year 2009 was terrible for many. And I say for many because not everyone, the elect. And 2020 elapsed. And 2021 elapsed. And we see how God began turning on that light, and turning on that light, and switching on that light. And when that brightness came, that great Christmas day, then we were left in daylight. And now, this is January 1st came around and God continued to give us more light every time. And more light and more light and more light. And today, we now comprehend. We now understand. We have already received the one whom the Reverend William Branham foreshadowed with his message. We have already understood the whole message, and we have understood everything that Dr. William Soto Santiago brought us. Now one takes any message, and one says, this is this, this is this, this is that. This is referring to this, this is referring to that. And it all adds up, because the Holy Spirit at this time is fulfilling all that which was spoken. That is why he said, as the Reverend William Branham said in his message, so shall the coming of the Lord be fulfilled. Now he goes on to say, in this excerpt of the Book of Quotations, on page 23, where it shows us where those thunders would be uttering their voices, and where the gospel would be. Page 23, paragraph 187. And I've always tried to make it a custom to close on Sunday afternoon with my service on Sunday afternoon. And after we get the gospel tent, and he circles gospel tent, we'll do the same thing. Close up on Sunday afternoon after the Sunday afternoon service. And have no morning service so that people can attend their own church. And at the top he writes, Carpa del Evangelio. He wrote there, gospel tent. the tenth equals services on Sunday p.m. And he writes, the gospel tenth. Because there, notice, is where Brother Branham says the gospel will be preached. The gospel of the kingdom, where the thunders are uttering their voices. There's a place where he writes, the tenth, the teaching, equals the thunders, the seven thunders. It is on the right side at the bottom. Let us see if we can find it quickly. It is where he writes. I don't know if I can find it more quickly there. It is on page, on the odd pages, at the bottom. 155. They found it quickly there. Let's see. That's the one. See? You're keeping up. Page 155, paragraph 1387. Now in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials, and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation. Tying them together in this hour that we're now living, to follow the opening of the seven seals, the seven church ages. And he writes there on top, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven thunders. And he writes, the teaching in the tent equals the thunders. In other words, the teaching of the tent and in the tent is the thunders. It is the gospel of the kingdom. And up here on the top part, on the next column, he writes a tent. So we couldn't get room to do it. So I hope that soon as I can get a place sufficient for that, either here in Louisville, New Albany, or either put up a tent so we can just stay as long as the Lord leads us to do. And he writes to the side, 2002, tent. He was already putting the date. He had put the date when that tenth ministry was appearing or emerging. There was when he sent our brother Miguel Bermudez Marin, apostle of the Lord, to anoint me. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, which was in a little wooden room. And then if the Lord allow us to talk a little bit more about that, it all has to do with the work that is being carried out today. Now notice in the message what there is behind the door, preached on March 23rd, 2014. He tells us, preach in Calle, Puerto Rico, and we will be seeing Christ in the midst of His church in His final manifestation. We will be seeing Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords. That is why He comes down in Revelation 10, crying as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. And that open book is revealed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the title deed of the heavens and the earth, of eternal life. In order for the church to return to the physical eternal life, she needs the title deed, and she will have it at the last day. And today I have news for you, for those who do not know it. The title deed is on earth. It is in the midst of His church. Therefore, for the church of the Lord, to be able to return to physical eternal life, as he told us there, that the title deed is needed in the midst of the church. Today, that is already a reality. Therefore, that word, that scripture, will be fulfilled. Because the most difficult thing is already done. And what do you mean, the most difficult thing? He already rose from the throne of the Father. He has taken already the title deed. You can't do that. No one has been found worthy. But he is worthy. He took the title, opened it in heaven, brought it to earth, and gave it to a man. And he has made us worthy to take the book as well and eat it up. He opened that book. It wasn't for him. He says it's for his bride. It's for his church. It's for you and it's for me. Now that is a revelation. He says the rapture is a revelation. In the message, the rapture, of which in the book of quotations, on page, let us see here, 168, paragraph 1498, it tells us, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. He writes to the prophet, it's revealed to her. That the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, how were we seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ? By believing in his first coming with the name Jesus. That was a spiritual rapture. Like the spiritual rapture of coming out of the seventh age to the age of the cornerstone. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. And he writes, the rapturing faith. The rapture equals a revelation. The bride waiting for the revelation of the rapture. Each revelation comes to the prophet, is what he wrote there above that first sentence. On page 6a, paragraph 59, he tells us why I believe the time will soon arrive that when healing will be a miracle healing, will be such a common thing. We've got to get some rapturing faith in the church to go away from here one of these days. And he draws an arrow towards a cornerstone that he drew on the left and the ages. And he writes on top, rapturing faith, healing will be common. And at the bottom he writes, the rapturing faith in the thunders, in the gospel of the kingdom. Not in the gospel of the grace, in the gospel of the kingdom. The angel with the everlasting gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom. It's been a great blessing and privilege for me to be with you on this occasion and thus share with you the gospel of the kingdom. We don't have much left. It won't be long. Persevere. Hold on a little longer. Remember that he said, he that will endure until the end, the same shall be saved. He who perseveres until the end will be transformed. I see many who have been persevering and who will continue to persevere here in Brazil, and those who could not make it, who are in far away places. For you also, beloved Brazilian people, he once told us, I am in charge of Brazil. Well, look, I can say, I am in charge of Brazil and of all Latin America and the entire world. Because it is the same Holy Spirit who spoke through the ages, who was in our midst, bringing the good tidings, and today he is incarnate in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. He not only in charge of Brazil, but he is in charge of the whole planet Earth, because he is the heir of the whole planet Earth. As Son of Man, he is the heir to the entire planet Earth. As the Son of David, he is the heir to the throne of David over there. As the Son of God, he is the heir to the planet Earth and the entire world. And as the Son of Abraham, he is heir to the land of Israel. Therefore, behold, a greater than Solomon. May God bless you, and may God keep you. And we can sing a praise, White Eagle. We can sing that song. Let's stand, and we can sing that praise. I believe our brother Rudy is around there, who can join us in this song. And that eagle, that white eagle, is the one that has come to carry us and take us to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the ministries of Moses and Elijah, those two mighty wings that are all over Latin America, covering with spiritual healing and physical healing as well. And soon, the total healing of the body, giving each one the new body, the eternal and glorified body. It's worth it. It is worth it to persevere. What awaits us is the marriage supper of the Lamb, a glorious millennial kingdom, and an eternity to never be separated. I spent several years without coming to Brazil like our brother Miguel. But notice, a time will come when we will never be separated. That union will be eternal. In the meantime, we use the media, and every time we see each other, we're close. That is why he said, connect with the tent, and even have the devotional connected with Puerto Rico. The congregation and the minister who does that has taken Dr. William Soto Santiago's message seriously. That is a true believer in the message of William Soto Santiago. Whosoever doesn't do it is a disobedient. But notice, you can give the instructions, but if it is not a chosen people to receive the rapturing faith, they won't do it. They will have their own interpretation. But here in Brazil, I have rejoiced greatly that there are ministers and brethren who are connected with Puerto Rico. They are connected with the great 10th Cathedral. Today the 10th came to you. Today the third pool is here. And we desire that in Brazil, in each place where a minister has a group that is lined up and centered with the Word, the manifestation of the third pool be in each congregation, be in each group, and may God be glorified there, because those miracles are carried out internationally, and it won't be necessary to make a trip. like I did now. But remember Philip. Therefore, in that pool, there will be no limitations, no more. Don't be surprised when everything is taking place, and above all, follow the instructions, how they will be spoken, and how every minister has to do in each place. And he would work in the same way that he will be working in that place. White Eagle. Great White Eagle, who came from heaven to seek your children, to seek your children, the children you have begotten. I had never seen you, great white eagle, but my heart knew your voice. I lived sad and hopeless, drowned in the world before seeing you, my God. But that great eye always watchful over that eaglet, that he begot. His wings and his voice of thunders were heard. Come up to the rock. Let's leave this place. Use your wings. Take flight now. Come out of Laodicea. Go up to eternity. I feel so free, flying on high, safe by your side, O mighty God. It's Moses and Elijah, mighty wings. He is leading me to my eternal home. He knows the way. He knows the place. Safe on his wings, I'll arrive there. It is Moses and Elijah, mighty wings. He is leading me to my eternal home. He knows the way. He knows the place. Safe on his wings, I'll arrive there. Safe on his wings, I'll arrive there. Safe on his wings, I will arrive there. Amen. Amen. Our brother Eliezer, if you can come forth. Eliezer Guareski. Our brother a few months or a year ago, everyone knows him, or most of you know him. He was there that whole time, accompanying us on the tours, and also here in Brazil. He played the piano, and he sings. And he is from Franca, Brazil, where our brother Antonino pastored, and many affectionately called him. So he has already departed. Now our brother Reverend Douglas is there. And he had a problem. It is a miracle that he's here. And he asked me to pray for him. What he had was meningitis. Meningitis in his brain, cerebral meningitis. It affected his speech, and he's still not, you know, to learn to continue, and also affected his writing. When did I tell you? Can you speak there? A year ago. Leo, can you translate him? Can you translate as he speaks? A year ago, the doctor said that being like this was on 1 in 1,000 case. And shortly after, I was already better. I went back to work. And a service provider had the same problem that I did. He went to the doctor, and he was there for a week, and then he died. He passed away. When was it that you asked me? A year ago. And here you are today. And notice, he believed the word. That is why a while ago while he was singing, it's because he still has a little bit of that difficulty. May God continue restoring you, and we want to see you play the piano again. When I used to come to record, He was skinnier. He was very skinny. 98 to 99. How old are you? If you're not supposed to say, if how old are you? 47. He was born on May 12th. So he was about 20 years old or about 19 years old, more or less, when I came. He was around 18 to 19 years old, and he was skinny. Well, I was also skinny. I wasn't left behind. So at that time, he played the piano there. And one of the songs that he used to sing there, which many young people sang, and now is updated, was this one, which I asked him to sing. He sang it in this morning, but I want him to sing it again. And with his song, may the name of the Lord be glorified. And may it be a testimony that the God creator of heavens and earth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is here today, this morning, in this afternoon, filled with the Holy Spirit. My Lord, flood my being. Yes, Lord. Because you will always be hand in hand with your angel. My Lord, lead my being. Yes, Lord. Because with joy we will always be praising your name. He is speaking. That I will reign with him. He is saying that I will live forever. He is speaking that I will reign with him. He is saying that I will live forever. I will live forever. I will live forever. Glory to God, to live eternally in an eternal and glorified body. He said it. He is faithful to fulfill it. Stay still where you're at. So, we ask you, Lord, yes, Lord, to help us reach our home. Because that is where we come from. We are here on earth now. We are sure that we will return. Yes, Lord. To the house of our Heavenly Father. The King brings us a time of peace, a living word that will adopt us, a source of light, our Jose, a living word that will transform us. The King brings us a time of peace, a living word that will adopt us, a source of light, our Jose, a living word glory to God, that will transform us. It is our Joseph. It is the Lord in His coming with a new name. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the pillar of fire. It is the angel of the covenant in the midst of the people. There is a song written by our sister Julie. She can sing it. Your mercy reached me. It reached us. That is, the mercy has reached us under the wings. Under the wings of Moses and Elijah. Elijah and Moses, he who receives his message receives mercy. You may begin. It is a joy and a great privilege to be able to receive the Anointed One, the Messiah. At this time, Your mercy reached me, for it pleased You this way. It is the Anointed One, the Lord is the great I Am, giving us the rapturing faith and transformation. I receive the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. I receive the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. It is the Anointed One, the Lord. It is the great I Am, giving us the rapturing faith and transformation. I receive the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. I receive the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Desperation means making an effort. In order to receive the Lord in His first coming, we had to enter through a door. That door was Christ, the Anointed One, in His first coming, named Jesus. In order to enter through the door of the dispensation of the kingdom, one enters through the door of the Anointed One. And that Anointed One has a name. And we must enter through it. Don't stay outside. That effort is desperation. And you must obtain it at this time. Soon, we will be seeing that desperation more prominently, wherever the elect of God will have to make an effort and will have to do an act by which they will identify themselves with that Anointed One. Let us continue singing. I have seen You, glory Lord, and my eyes have been opened, and I see what the fourth Elijah saw. I have seen You, glory Lord, and my eyes were opened, and I believe what the Archangel Gabriel announced. Thank You, Lord, because I believe in God's voice of trumpet, in His second coming, in our Anointed One today. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. I receive our Jose as my claimer. Thank You, Lord, because I believe in the voice of trumpet of God, in His second coming, in our Anointed One today. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. I receive our Jose as my claimer. I receive our Jose as my king, as lion. I receive our Jose as my claimer. How many have received him this morning? We have received him. How many can give a testimony by raising your hand and say to the Lord, I have received you as my claimer this morning. I have received your claiming work as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords, as the Son of David. Lord, claim me. And soon, work in my life around that word that I am hearing, and transform me. You did it with Sarah. You did it with Abraham. You can do it with me. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. In his name, Jose, which is the name in which he has come at this time as claimer. He is claiming his church. It is what he has redeemed. You are a redeemed one. Therefore, that gives you right to be claimed by the Lord. He came to seek you and to take us to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have received our claimer, and in every place that is hearing my voice and has accepted and received and believed the claimer at this end time, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Son of David, those promises contained in the dispensation of the kingdom are also for you. Let us be prepared, because soon a new stage will begin in the midst of the church. But our house must be completely fixed, fully clean. God has extended mercy upon Brazil as well, because Brazil is part of that glorious messianic kingdom. Brazil has already said, I'm here. And Brazil will enter into the kingdom of the Prince Messiah. And so will all of you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And in this way, we leave our subject for today, the angel with the everlasting gospel. Remember, it is not fanatism. It is a reality. We are in the reality. We are in the fulfillment of what was promised. Just as the promises that were carried out in past dispensations were real, in the dispensation of the kingdom, all the promises are being fulfilled and are real. When you look in the mirror and see, when Brother Branham says those beautiful words, the gray hair will go out, the wrinkles will fall away, be changed in a moment. May God help you, and may God continue to help us to keep preparing ourselves to reach that great goal of our transformation. If that is His goal, what could be the goal of His elect? The same one. The angel with the everlasting gospel. Today, you have received that angel. You have welcomed him. And you have accepted that work of that angel with the everlasting gospel. Of the angel who was different from the rest. The angel with the everlasting gospel. Let us leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.